Blog Talk Radio.
He come to me with money in his hand. He offered me. I didn't ask him. I wasn't knocking someone's door down. I was running from that. When I got out, I was in that. I was already through that. I had that. I had the studio. I went to the studio. Went to Vox Studios. I had it all. And I looked at it and I said, this is a bigger jail than I just got out of. I don't want to take my time going to work. I got a motorcycle and a sleeping bag and 10 or 15 girls. What the hell I want to go off and go to work for? Work for what? Money? I got all the money in the world. I'm a king, man. I run the underworld, guy. I decide who does what and where they do it at. What am I going to run around and act like I'm some teeny bopper somewhere for somebody else's money? I make the money, man. I roll the nickels. The game is mine. I deal the cards.
I close my eyes and see
Jesus.
I stretch my fist and
see
it. I light my torch and burn it.
Burn
I am the beast I worship. I close my eyes and see it.
Jesus.
I stretch my fist and feed it.
Jesus.
I light my torch and burn it.
Burn
I am the beast I worship. And I know soon come my turn. But in my mortal pale burns. And I did not determine. I'm taking past the point of no return. Wait for like no tomorrow. Cause no hell there won't be one. For all who deny the struggle, the triumph and overcome. Strips away a few of them that up to them. Hold on wind, life begins with a sun that stands. If not with few, we'll ever know. Have seen the truth beneath the glow of the ebb and flow. Where the roots of all mysteries grow. I land below, so far below the bottom line. Transcending line, transmission run. From the depths out of control bonds. Suspend the glance and venom blinking eyes. Eminent get chance on the path that runs. On the path I find, the claim is mine. Rise away of unrest, made to make me shine as a testament to other ways that the blind will never get. Shift a snake from my disrespect, dismiss this life, worship death. Cold blood night of serpent's breath, exhale like spells from the endlessness in the bottomless well of emptiness. Channel to reflect what we represent. Secret order, elitist order, free from fire, seizing power. Prodigal, the loop is ours. I am bound, time is gone. Blue light drawn, fight till dawn. Sacrifice to rise beyond. Deep inside, the violent calm of the coming storm. In much war, to glorify, and for life to dawn. With all their knowledge to become unborn. I close my eyes and seize it. I place my fist and feed it. I light my torch and burn it. I am the beast I worship. I close my eyes and seize it. I take my fist and feed it. I light my torch and burn it. I am the beast I worship. I am the beast I worship. In a time of war time I'd run with thorns. Curved like psychotropic stars. The smell of torn. Flesh play drive. I am sworn. The path is blind. Vomiting forth. Flameless eye. And older than ancient force, it plays this life with no remorse. The spiral storm, the flames is not. The force I raise, the force I ride. Feel my best, I'll go up in flames. Flesh to a slip, I'll be your name. Direct connection to the source. Vestment of a natural force. Forever burning black doors. Wisdom of the holy true. But that's fine, the chosen few. Shining through, reveal the way. Of the darkness, death pervades. All that is, and ever was. Inferno of witches' blood. Worship is not only the need. Nature knows not of mercy. The prey is to accept defeat. Power pisses on the weak. Power beheaded by the beast. Bend your own a vicious leash. Down is desperate for relief. Worship is the way I rise. With the courage through the odds. Storm the force, the false denial. Worship the flame with which I rise. Into a apocalyptic sky. Arms with flame on flesh to bone. In splintered skeleton I roam. With plans with not to call my own. But the path I walk alone. The hunger burns within my gut. As my bones turn into dust. And I know soon come my time. But in my mortal pale burns. But I fear not this time. I'm taking past the point.
Cheeseburger Nebula. I am your host, Dr. William Stewart Bonney. That was Death Grips, Beware, off of Ex-Military, their very first mixtape. A very, very phenomenal piece of artwork. I do stress artwork. Tonight, we will be having Autry Fulbright II from Annual Notice by the Trail of Dead, as well as Paul Wesley Langway III from, and the head honcho captain, Brain Skull, behind Wizard Bong, a local Denver clothing company. It's a very jam-packed episode. First off, we're going to cover some things, because we like covering things here. Making sure all of our bases are covered is pretty much a necessary. Here in the next couple months, there will be a Cheeseburger Nebula-sponsored event. It will be here in the lovely, sunny city of Denver, Colorado. It will be a street art show with an unnamed street art group at the moment, with unnamed everything else. The only thing I can tell you is Earled Apparel will be sponsoring it, as well as Capella's Gluten-Free Kitchen. So that's very exciting. Like I said, tonight is a very, very special show. We're going to have Autry from Annual Notice by the Trail of Dead. And if you don't know who Annual Notice by the Trail of Dead is, well, you should get yourself acquainted. They're probably one of my favorite bands. Not probably. They are one of my favorite bands of all time. A Texas band, as I am a Texas son of Texas. They've been around for a good amount of time. I remember hearing them for the first time back, I guess, early 2000s was when I was introduced to them. Since I started listening to them, it's just been a great ride. That's all I have to say. So. But this is Awestruck from Open Doors, one of their latest. And, yeah. Enjoy it.
She to ask for
And you will know us by the Trail of Death. May 23rd of this month, here in Denver, Colorado, as a Friday, there will be a poetry reading at the Mercury Cafe. Mercury Cafe is a very, very special, special place. It's a strange, strange place that has a wizard that wanders and gives tarot readings and sells tea. And no, to all you 1970s people, that is not the vernacular for marijuana. Here in Denver, we sell marijuana at the store. It is at 2199 California Street, Denver, Colorado, 80205. It is open 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. I highly encourage you to be there at 8 p.m., possibly not sharp, possibly dull. On May 23rd, the Friday of two weeks from now, to hear poetry readings. Now, when you are presented with the fact of having poetry readings, are you immediately jumping for joy? Probably not. But I will say, this week that this is occurring is a smorgasbord of human beings who I would say are very, very phenomenal. Is it my narcissism that plays into this? Yes. I'm a part of this. I actually want to stress to everybody out there listening, I'm very narcissistic. Clefjaw Press, who published my first book, Galaxy vs. Sabretooth, will be throwing this event at Mercury Cafe. Dustin Holland and Frankie Metro, the two head honchos, as well as Lindsay Thomas, Frankie's beautiful wife, author of Blind Date at the Glass Eye Disco, will be there as well, as well as Mick Everett, one of the head editors over at Clefjaw, which, by the way, not only a press, a zine creator of the highest caliber, online literary reviewer magazine, not a reviewer, magazine review, I guess you would call it. I don't know these technical terms. I'm not a professor, I'm a doctor. It's going to be one of those shows that's pretty magical in a lot of different ways. Frankie recently released his tandem switchblade bike of a book, APC. Dustin released his book a few months ago, Captain Head. Myself, Galaxy vs. Sabretooth was released a year ago on April 26th. Thank you, claps all around. Mick has some books coming out, such as the novels, or I think it's the Memoirs of a Homeless Bookstore Owner and Turtle, the American Contrition of Franz Ferdinand. MJ Taylor, the book will be released in the next 2 days, possibly on Tuesday, I think, which is an optimal time, according to record label, according to everybody, release things on Tuesday, apparently. It's called Rattled. It's from Clefjaw Press. I haven't gotten to peep it yet, necessarily. It's going to be phenomenal, though. Gabriel Richard, which he has a novella coming out with Clefjaw, Bondage Night at the Darren Caras. This is going to be one of those shows that is going to be hella badass. And I stress, I don't use hella very often. Nate Maxson, as well as Kick Holland, a.k.a. Nick Holland, a.k.a. Swag Lord, One Trillion, is going to be doing the Mistogue Holland show. I can't explain it. Why should I explain it? But it's an event that will be starting at 8 p.m. It's going to be showcasing the transcendental realism that is emerging from what is the afterbirth of the Beats, in a sense. And that's probably the only time that you'll get that explanation. This is probably on my honestly the only episode that I'll drink whiskey before. But it will, at 10 p.m., be having an open mic. And open mics are one of the lifebloods of the small press. It really, really brings together a lot of people who necessarily wouldn't come out of their shells, necessarily wouldn't even come out of the house to showcase what they have, because there's a lot of brilliance out there that isn't showcased because of, for lack of a better word, just confidence, for lack of a better term, really not understanding that this kind of, like, conduit is out there. Because I understand, I mean, like, a couple of years ago, if you had told me that there were places where I would be able to go read my, quote-unquote, quasi-afterbirth beat poetry, I would probably laugh at you, because it's not necessarily something that you're very open to sharing with the public, and it's also not necessarily something that you're really conscious about having it be there, if that makes sense. You're not really necessarily, for me, to get transcendental for a second, it's never really a conscious thing for me to put that poetry out there. The poetry is really a part of a grieving, if not process, series that manifests itself into an art form. If that manifestation courts as an, you know, painted, drawn, sketched picture, or if it manifests itself as a series of poems or a series of photographs, it's really not necessarily up for myself to decide. It's really up to the great winds to decide in a lot of ways, and it's really up for the process to decide, because the process is one of those things that a lot of people neglect. Art, for a lot of people, I do believe, is the end product that comes out, whereas for the artist, the true artist who really views themselves as an artist, I feel that the process is the poetry. The process is the art form in and of itself. It's the creation and the understanding of the creation through oneself and the understanding of the creation of how you yourself create it. If I was to, you know, skimp on a certain drawing, poem, song, whatever the platform may be, I think it would haunt me. And I know this sounds dramatic. I think it would haunt me for the rest of my life every time I revisited that piece, because it's one of those things that is so personal to yourself that you don't want to say at any one point that it can ever be done. I think if you were to talk to most artists, a lot of their artwork wouldn't be done necessarily in their opinion. I think there would be modifications that maybe necessarily wouldn't crop up within the time frame of, let's say, it having to be done or it being done, quote-unquote, as far as they're concerned at that moment. But as time goes on, I feel like 50%, I wouldn't say 100%, even close to 60% would say this, but 50% would say that they could go and revisit and retouch up some things and wouldn't have any kind of second regret. I mean, it's really the George Lucas dynamic, as I call it, going back and revisiting the original masterpieces that you made so that the new masterpieces that you create can be, okay, and also let me preference, this is your mind. This isn't necessarily my view of things. I'm not saying episode 1 through 3 are masterpieces by any stretch of the imagination, not to bring any kind of drama onto the podcast, not to make this a Star Wars podcast either in any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that by revisiting 4, 5, and 6, George Lucas was able to pay credence to 1, 2, and 3, and if not the Clone Wars, which was his subsequent series. To nerd out for a second, his subsequent series that followed this. So it's one of those where you really do have to kind of take a step back and really kind of ask yourself, what kind of art are you creating? Is it a timeless piece in your mind, or is it really something that you maybe could let manifest into something different? But who are we to really, you know, say these things or ask these questions? I think, actually, some of my favorite pieces of art, which this is what is referred to in the industry as a segue, which I've learned recently. Album covers. And I think, you know, back in the day, talking probably mid to late 70s to mid 90s, that was pretty much the height of album covers. You know, maybe barring Trail of Dead. I think their Worlds Apart 2007 release, maybe. Maybe my timeline's a little off. But maybe I think that's one of the more epic covers that's ever been released. But Mastodon has some of the most beautiful covers that I've ever seen. Leviathan being that, which is the creme de la creme out of all of them. It's a very modern piece. I'm not gonna even fucking flaunt like this. Like, who? And that was the last song by Peel Approach, who is a Tiny Amp Records, the family member. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Just drinking whiskey, having a good old time. I do believe that it's going to be a heavy music episode and short on the interviews, which, YOLO, cool. We're going to play some more Bipedal Approach. They released their album a couple of months ago, too, off of Tiny Amp Records. Phenomenal album. Their cassette will be released in, I want to say early June, necessarily, to cheer on that. I do believe it's like June 2nd, but it might be July 2nd. I get my J months confused, so do me, I guess.
Thank you.
now is the bipedal approach. Doing things. Doing the damn thing. Next week on the show is back. But the show won't be back next week. Get what I did there? It won't be back because it's my birthday. And you can't celebrate your birthday accurately if you're doing podcasts. That's pretty much just how I view it. Don't want anybody else to view it any differently. So that's what's happening. So I'll be in Texas eating cheeseburgers and talking about America and stuff. Funny thing, the 24th, as I was talking about earlier, the 23rd is the Mercury Cafe reading here in Denver. The 24th in Austin, Texas, at the Empire Control Room, which of course is on 606 East 7th Street, Austin, Texas. Rawpaw, which probably all of my favorite people in the world, some of at least, they will be having a show. It's the Dream Zine release party, which your boy will be featured in. I will have some work in Rawpaw's latest zine. I am happy to announce tonight for the first time. There's going to be super badass music, and there is a surprise headliner, The Secret, and no one can actually know who the surprise headliner is, but whatever. Holiday Mountain, Hikes, Sip Sip, Milzo, Corduroy, The Deer, Isaiah the Mosaic, Big Bill. All these people will be playing at the release party. There will be live screen printing and installation done by Cogdut. Installations by Floyote Jones, Eric Lara, the homie, formerly of Clavin Art. Shout out to Eric. Lucy Kerr, Movements Arts, Dance Performance and Installations. Nick Gregg and Alex Diamond, installation. A.R. Rogers, poetry installation. Shout out to him. Gabriel Phoenix, projections. Kendall Clark, projections. A bunch of really cool, really cool, really groovy people involved with Rawpaw. And all the people that they are involved with are as groovy, if not more, I wouldn't say more groovy, but simultaneously groovy. Just a real beautiful collection of human beings. So if you're in Austin on Saturday, May 24th, which is 2 weeks from now, and will be the day before our next episode, please go check it out at the Empire Control Room and Garage, because, I mean, if I could be there, I would be giving hugs to all of these people, and I would also just be telling them what amazing art they do and what amazing art they create, because truly, indeedly, it is that. But I think we're going to continue on with the music block, because this is pretty much an extended episode. So before we get into our interview swagger, which generally takes up about an hour, very, very long, fun hour, we generally play music sprinkled in there, but kind of get all the music out of the way, I think that's what we're doing tonight. So, here's some more bipedal approach. It's called The Cowboy Tune. Boop, bop, 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 bop. All right. We are back, and we have our first guest on tonight, Mr. Paul Wesley Langway III. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm glad this worked.
Yeah, no,
how
I'm
are
really
you doing,
glad
Andrew?
It worked, too. I'm doing great. I want to bring in our listeners to what's been going on because they're probably thinking, like, wow, that was a huge, phenomenal music block, which I wasn't expecting. And, like, honestly, the other side over here was expecting that either. But technical difficulties because of beautiful snow weather that we've been having here in Denver, Colorado, have transpired. So luckily we fought through those problems, and here we are. How are you tonight, Paul?
I'm doing great. I was trying to do this. I don't get any reception in my house, so I was trying to do this via computer, but just going to stand by my window, I guess. It's all right. I enjoy the view anyway.
You know, I've done entire phone interviews, entire shows on balconies and random positions and on in a, like, random corner of some random room in an apartment or house because that was the one that got the best reception. I understand fully and completely. It's what you have to do here in this modern age, and, you know, we're gonna do what we have to do.
That's true.
So, Paul.
That's true. Yeah.
First question, have you survived and have you enjoyed this crazy winter weather that decided to make itself present yesterday here in Denver, Colorado?
I have, barely. We were trying not to leave the house today, and then we had to anyway. So we went out in it, actually. It wasn't too bad. There's something crazy happening, though, on about, I want to say, Louisiana and Colorado right now. The cops had, like, 3 or 4 blocks shut down. Insane.
Whoa.
Nothing going on that you can see, but there's cop cars everywhere. There's tape up everywhere. I don't know. I got to look that one up later.
You know, here in Blog Talk Radio History, we've had some live studio updates of news going on, but this might be one of the more up-to-beat dates that we've had in a long time. And that's pretty cool.
I don't know. I mean, I imagine it to be more thrilling than it's probably actually going to be.
You know,
I want vigilante crime fighter, but I'm probably going to get 2 cars who couldn't figure out how to go the right way down the street.
Something like that. Maybe, well, and, you know, Denver lately has been experiencing, which is very funny to me, the hash explosions, which have been going on all over town. Have you heard about this, Paul?
The hash explosion?
There's been a few hash explosions because the new fad, which I know you're aware of.
Oh,
I don't know if our listeners are aware of
it. The pipe bomb theory.
The shatter hash. And, it pretty much essentially is made archaically. I'm going to stress this. Archaically, if you're going to make shatter hash, listeners, please use a closed-loop system. And if you don't know what that is, please don't make hash. The pipe bomb, as Paul is referring to, is pretty much a glass tube with a hole in the end of it and another pretty much bong opening on the other side. You wrap the bong opening in some cloth, essentially. Fill up your pipe with, I don't know, an ounce to about 5 ounces, whatever. Run butane through this glass bong shaft, whatever you have, whatever you want to call it, and take the liquid that runs out of it and process that into a very concentrated form of hash, generally referred to as wax. If you're good at it, shatter, which is a more solid state of it. But it's one of those things that takes a little bit of heat, so people have been exploding from it, or their houses have been exploding from it. I don't think people necessarily have been exploding from it. But apparently, in the past week in Denver, there's been, like, 32 explosions, something like that.
32?
And the ironic thing is, earlier this week, pretty much government came out and was like, yeah, it's totally chill for you to make hash inside of your house. So
population control.
Great dichotomy. Yeah, pretty much it's euthanasia. Yeah, a little bit of inferred.
Sure,
but
go for it.
Whatever.
Make a
pipe. Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah, why not?
We don't care.
Try your hand at this. We encourage you. We're the state of Colorado. But let's get down to some talking business, Paul.
Okay.
So I want you to explain to our listeners. This is how I do it. I want you to explain to our listeners what WizardBong is, who you are, what both of that means, if that makes sense.
Oh, boy. Sure, it makes sense. I don't know. You know, WizardBong is as much of a movement as it is just a lazy kid painting pictures of mountains and smoking weed. You know, I like to think of it as a way of life. I recently decided that I don't need to go back to work anymore. Working for someone is the stupidest thing you can really do. Trading your time, which is very valuable, for a little bit of money. And so I've fully embraced the WizardBong lifestyle, which is, you know, create, spread the message, and enjoy. And that goes for just about everything I do. Eating, painting, waking up, exercising, archery, all of that. But ultimately, if you want to get a little closer to home, it's me, and I make paintings and T-shirts and stupid pictures of things that are fun to look at. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know how much that it is anything as it is nothing, but it's probably the combination thereof.
Well, you know, I really feel like you sell yourself a little short because, I mean, I've been to a couple of quote-unquote WizardBong shows, maybe more appropriately just Paul Wesley Langway III shows where it was your art showcase, but it was the WizardBong lifestyle being exemplified in small coffee shops around Denver and small breweries around Denver, it's one of those where even if at this moment it's an infant movement, it's a movement, and there are people out there who are part of this movement. And
I agree totally.
And it's one of those movements that, man, I'm super fucking on board with because it's really fucking metal. It's a couple beers short of being a bonfire. If that makes sense, you know what I mean? Like it's
that makes. Well, if it helps, I'm really working on getting those beers. I know I need
a
few more, but I'm getting them.
And I feel that. And honestly, I'm gonna give a little preference story to how we were introduced. How I was introduced to WizardBong and WizardBong's lifestyle. A couple months ago, I moved into a new house with a good friend named Hunter Dragon and another good friend named Mean Old Joe Wallace. And
Mean Old Joe Wallace.
And I was introduced right away to some WizardBong art that was hanging in the house. And I was like, you know, this is some really groovy art that I really, really dig. And then I moved into my room, and my room is actually pretty much like a WizardBong art fest on the wall. There's a couple of original WizardBong, like, pieces just on the wall, not even, like, hanging on the wall. They are the wall. They're a part of the actual aesthetic of our house. And then, like, you go downstairs, and the new WizardBong piece is appearing downstairs. And I really feel like that's kind of going on in a couple places around Denver where WizardBong is made its presence known, and it's spreading. I wouldn't say a virus, but like, but the movement. You know what I mean? What are you thinking about?
You know,
this whole movement.
Huh? What's that?
Oh no, go ahead. Whatever you were gonna say is probably exactly.
I was gonna say, you know, they say you're your own worst critic, and I totally believe that. But you are absolutely correct. I can't deny myself the fact that I have actually been working really hard at this. And I have noticed it has been taken hold. People notice what it is and where it's coming from and the amount of work that I've been putting into it, because it is this thing that I want to be doing. And I really appreciate people like you and your wonderful roommates who seem to have the most of my artwork in that collection of anybody I know, old and new. Joe Wallace himself has a piece from my very first art show in Denver 9 years ago, which is ridiculous. I mean,
wow.
To keep that around.
Yeah, that's a mean old Joe Wallace, too. One of the
one of
the sponsors of the Live from the Cheeseburger Nebula.
and listeners might not know, mean old Joe Wallace is not actually mean.
He's not mean at all.
At all.
He's like Iceland, you know what I mean? Like, we pretty much call him mean old Joe Wallace so other people don't become friends with him because he's that cool. Just want to deter people from, like, even seeking him out. So they're just like, oh, Iceland? Like, probably not a place I want to go.
It's totally selfish.
By design.
But anyway, enough about Joe Wallace. More about what's going on in the Cheeseburger Nebula. We got a lot of sidebars here. It's good. I like sidebars. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I think the reason that I listen to the ones that I do is their ability to sidebar. It's really, that's what I listen to it for. I mean, you know, I want to get the information of what they're talking about, but I also want to hear the random crap that goes on in their brain. I feel like that's really where it's at.
That's very important. If people aren't listening to this show for the random crap that goes on, like, I really feel sorry for you. I don't know. You might want to take a long, deep look in the mirror, reevaluate some things.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
Wizard Boy.
Yeah.
You make apparel. I mean, it's limited at the moment. But it's expanding.
It is limited, but it is growing.
It is growing. And, I mean, I think one of the coolest things about Wizard Bong, and we talked about this actually a couple of days ago at my house, I have a friend in Austin. This is a very Austin, Texas, Denver, Colorado show. We have a lot of people from both. I have a friend in Austin who he dumpster dives, and he creates art like that, and he calls it upcycling. You pretty much do the same thing, but you have a different view on that. It's not upcycling as much as it's you dumpster diving and creating art out of the stuff that you dumpster dive.
Well,
and
if
that,
if I
to me,
explain.
Is fucking, that's awesome. And please expand on that.
Well, really, it's not upcycling to me, and the only reason it's not upcycling is because I don't enjoy canvas. I don't enjoy painting on it. It's, to me, the best thing you can paint on is rained on, possibly peed on, snowed on, all kind of weathered piece of wood that's been sitting in the dumpster. And it brings out a really nice aesthetic to the finished piece. You can see typically the cracks and the old, you know, stains coming through. And that's, you know, I've lived with several people who have said, you know, hey, you know, that painting you're working on is outside and it's raining. Like, oh, yes, I know. I did that on purpose.
I love that. I
fully support upcycling, too, but
honestly, it's a step further than upcycling. It's like the reappropriation of what, not necessarily you would consider something that you would throw away, but what others would consider what they throw away. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. being like, okay, so you find no more use for this, but I find use for this, and I create on this. And not only do I create on this and I find use for this, but I'm going to treat it like you treat it, but then I'm going to take it back, and then I'm going to sell it, because that, to you, is what the end result of anything is. And, like, to me, that's what's up. Like, that is art in its heart, in its fucking gut, is saying to the rich people, I think, I don't remember who said this, and I don't want to misquote anybody, but I will use a quote. Get together and they talk about money, and bankers get together and they talk about art. And it's one of those things that really holds true until you start to meet those artists who aren't talking about money. And when you start to meet those artists who aren't talking about money, who are kind of like, oh, yeah, you kind of, you know, do whatever, sell for whatever. I think that's really when you start to see that true art really grow from what it once perceived to be, what it once was perceived to be, you know, and it becomes its own organic movement for I don't have a better term for that, but, like, it's a part of something more every time that the piece is a part of something more, you know? Like, it's a part of more of an aesthetic than it is just a single piece. It's like The X-Files. The X-Files is great because it's kind of episodic, and you can kind of jump in at any episode and be like, all right, yeah, I get what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you watch the series as a whole, it's this huge whole story arc that starts at the very beginning and ends at the very end. And you really get a good feel. And, I mean, the very end also continues on to graphic novels for those in the know and in the want to know. But it's one of those things that it's like, you know, you can take it at face value, or you can really study it and really understand what it is and really learn, you know, what it is and what it is to become. So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I really enjoy the fact that you just compared me to the X-Files. That is quite the compliment. That hit me in the heart hard, man. You and I think we just stepped it up to best friend status. I'm gonna have to make you a piece now in exchange for that. Like, I'm gonna get to the drawing board right after this. But yeah, that quote is actually really interesting. Because I hear that all the time. It's people. Well, I don't actually hear a whole lot of people with money talking. Besides, like, my parents, I suppose. But poor people always talking about money. They're always talking about what they can't have and what they want. It feels like people are aspiring to be wealthy with money, but really the key to it all is just being wealthy with yourself, with love, with the people you surround yourself with. There's this fake system going on right now that doesn't make any sense and only works for a handful of people, but we're all fighting to be a part of it, and I don't really understand why. So I guess I paint wanderers, people who imagine different worlds, who want something different than what we have, you know?
I think that's very reflective of, like, your art and, like, who you are as a person, too, is, like, trying to create that different world and trying to create that aesthetic through creation, you know, if that makes sense. Like, that kind of, let me bring you on this kind of trip, you know, jump on my hot air balloon and I'll show you my own world, and then we can land and take your hot air balloon and you can show me your world. Because your world is very, like, you look at a Wizard Bong piece or you look at some Wizard Bong art and you're like, that's Wizard Bong. But then whenever you do collabs, because I've seen a couple of collabs that you do, and also for you to be open to do collabs is a very rare thing. You don't see too many people do collabs. But to see you do collabs too, like, you get to see that feel and how you try to morph with other people. And that's a really fucking special thing, too, that you actually give it your all to not only have your own kind of thing, but incorporate other people's thing into your thing. So, I don't know, what kind of drove you to doing collabs, or is that just kind of always been a part of, like, the ethos of Wizard Bond?
Well, I can't say that I recall any collaborations offhand.
Well, I definitely know that we have a couple of years for some, like, Hunter Dragon, who's my roommate, who plays shows around Denver. No, I've definitely seen some of them.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Stuff. Yeah. And that work definitely, it has, like, your flair to it, but it also, like, seamlessly morphs into whoever else you were working with at the time.
That was actually one of the best years of my artistic career. I mean, I'm now on to the next best year of my artistic career. I mean, every day it's better and better. But I was working actually with my friend Jay and my friend Mark, who we started Party Lord, printing koozies and posters for the High Dive. And that was the biggest learning experience of my life, just having to collaborate with those guys and make changes according to what they said and, you know, sometimes even completely starting over. But it did, it birthed something new. You know, I've done collaboration shows since then. I did a show with my friend Patrick, and we pulled that off somehow. And it was an incredible practice in patience, I suppose you could say. But I do really enjoy it, actually. But I don't know what drove me to do it. I don't know actually what drives me to do anything. I just kind of need to do it. I like seeing other people's work, and I like seeing my next painting and my next drawing and how that's improved since the last one and what it's going to be like a month from now.
Definitely.
It's going to be like a year from now. I don't know if any of that even made sense or was had anything to do with the question, but I can end it with collaboration.
It was poignant, it was beautiful as fuck, and it was collaborative. But
yeah.
What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put you on hold for a second, and I'm going to bring in our other guest just for a second,
okay.
Talk to him,
okay.
And then I'm going to bring you back. Are you all right with that?
Yeah.
All right, well,
hit this song and hang out.
Yeah, definitely. I'll talk to you soon, all right. Mr. Paul, Mr. Wizard Bong. All right, and that is Paul Leslie Langway III. Right now we're going to bring on Autry Fulbright. Hello, Autry. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
Thanks so much. Sorry. First of all, I'm really happy to be on the show, and I'm sorry that I'm calling in late. I got caught up with cooking at the studio that we're at right now.
Dude, no worries at all. We just listen to music.
I'm really happy to be part of it.
Hey, I'm really happy for you to be on here. It's really fucking cool of you to clear time out of your really busy schedule.
Thanks for having me.
On. Dude, are you still on tour? Are you guys done with tour? Are you recording now? What's going on?
I am... can you do a 10-minute thing here? We're actually not on tour right now. We just finished doing a short run of shows. We did Source Tags and Codes. We played Austin and Dallas yesterday. And now we're finishing up our album kind of in an undisclosed location at Texas Hill Country.
Beautiful.
And... just enjoying it, really excited about what we have in store for everyone, and, ready to start touring again in the fall when the record comes out.
Yeah, no, definitely. I got to catch you before your mini tour, your last tour, thanks to you, which, again, thank you so much.
I just, again, want to apologize for being tardy. It's a long story that was a poor excuse for being tardy, but thank you so much for still having me on.
Yeah, of course, dude. Like, yeah, no, fucking no worries whatsoever. Just kind of going with the flow here as much as we can all the time.
Cool.
So, yeah, but, dude, fucking that last show that you guys played here in Denver was just, it was fucking, it was one of those where, it, like, it took me a while to get to the actual show, but I, like, walked in as you guys were starting the set, and it was one of my favorite sets that I've gotten to see in a long time.
Thanks a lot. It was a fun show.
Yeah, dude, it was very, I mean, you guys are just super fucking energetic and super fucking just, ah, man, I don't even know how to describe it. Just, like, the feel of everything is always just on point because that isn't the first time I've gotten to see you guys in the past couple of years, and it was hopefully, and, I mean, it won't be the last time that I get to see you, but, yeah, I don't know.
I think the last time we were in Denver was maybe about... had to have been about 5 or 6 years ago at this point. And it was definitely a fun show. We definitely want to come back again soon.
Yeah, definitely. If I mean, like, if I have any way to help or facilitate that, I will try my best. But, yeah, I'm just trying to see you guys anytime that I'm around y'all. But here at the show, we like to do just some, like, you know, funny interview questions because, I don't know, people don't, interviews generally aren't too fun and they're pretty business-like, but if you sorry, go ahead.
No, I have a way, you know, interviews are always fun to me, you know, I make them fun, and I'm just happy to just, you know, have someone be interested in, you know, what I'm doing and what our band's doing, and so I have fun regardless.
Good.
I force fun.
You know, not everybody has that similar ethos or similar approach to these things, that's for fucking sure. Sometimes you don't talk to the most happy people. But if you, Autry, were to travel through the universe and end up on a random planet, what planet do you think you would want that to be?
If I were to travel anywhere in the universe to any planet, you know, it doesn't really matter what planet I'd be on as long as it has really good Wi-Fi.
Hell yeah. No,
that's pretty much my prerequisite.
Wi-Fi and some good weed, from my end at least. I think that's probably
like free Wi-Fi and
that's a fucking phenomenal answer. All right, if you were to have a superpower of some sort, what do you think your superpower would be? I think possibly we have lost Autry. These things happen. Like I was saying earlier, it's a very, very snowy night at the Cheeseburger Nebula. So we... Let me see here. Do a little computer magic, Wi-Fi magic. And we have lost him, unfortunately. So we're going to bring back Paul. Paul, are you
unmuted. There? I'm here.
Unmuted.
That was great.
It was great. And hopefully Autry comes back and then we'll all have a fun talk fest together. But,
yeah
that was Autry Fulbright.
It is terrible out there right now. Especially for May 11th, is it? This is stupid.
Yeah, something like that. I think it is May. No, it is May 11th because it's my cousin's birthday. My birthday's in a week. She's born 6 days ahead of me. Boom.
What's your cousin's
name? There we
are.
Rachel. Shout out to Rachel in Brooklyn, New York.
Happy birthday, Rachel, in Brooklyn, New York.
Happy birthday, Rachel. She's like a social worker. Just a total babe. Total sweetheart.
Good.
Yeah.
Social work. We need social work. What's up?
How was your mute session?
Mute session? It was good. I sat here. I'm actually sitting right next to our radiator. It's wonderful. Unfortunately, we don't have any control over it, so it's also really hot at the times. But, yeah, it's been good. That was entertaining. I'm sorry that you lost him, but there was a lot of good music coming through. It was good.
You know, and Autry, he just sent me a message. He's gonna try to get back on here. But you know, this is DIY radio. This is what we sign up for. This is
you never know
really trying your best, America. if you've ever tried your best before,
this is what it's
definitely
like.
A good glimpse of it. Because like some days it's snowy outside and it's Sunday and it's one of your few days off. So you drink like a fifth of Jameson between you and one of your friends, and then you do a podcast, you know, and you got to really keep yourself together during that podcast. That's kind of where we're at tonight.
Yeah?
Paul.
All right. I didn't know.
I'm going to ask you the interview questions. There are literally, there's a couple interview questions that we have specifically for the show, and I just asked Autry, but I'll ask you, if you were to travel throughout outer space, and you were, it used to be any planet in this, immediate galaxy or universe, we're pretty much open to, Marvel Universe, Star Trek Universe. If you were to land on some random planet, what planet do you think you would want to go to?
Well, I mean, now that you've opened up, other
television-based
universes, comic book-based universes, goodness, I gotta be kind of boring. I really want to know more about Neptune. I feel like I watch Cosmos and other shows and stuff like that, and I never hear anybody talk too much about Neptune. And I'd like to go there and I'd like to check it out, based on the fact that I can survive in the atmosphere.
Definitely. Doesn't it rain diamonds on Neptune? Is that Neptune where it rains diamonds?
It rains diamonds? Jeez, I don't know.
Yeah. That might be Uranus.
That might really hurt.
Yeah, right?
Well, I'll have to look into it.
Oh,
yeah,
by the way,
that would just be
a planet. I have a reading at the Mercury Cafe on the 23rd. I'm going to reiterate this for our listeners and for you. You should roll through, dog.
Mercury, 23rd May?
Yep, this month.
May 23rd at the Mercury Cafe.
Yeah, you and Christina, y'all roll through. We'll smoke a couple joints outside. You know what's good.
Hey, shout out to the girlfriend, Christina.
Hey, shout out to Paul's girlfriend, Christina. One of the pizza gang, one of the bonfire gang swag members, archery club, hellfire club.
She can have most anyone I know.
Yeah, honestly, definitely.
It's true. She's a badass.
She is.
But,
All right. Here, I do have another interview question, if you're poised and ready for this, Paul. If you could have a superpower, what kind of superpower would you have?
I think that it would definitely have to be invisibility.
Oh.
Straight up. I would paint everywhere, and I would pull pranks on everyone. It would be funny. I'd just be tripping people all day. There'd be a painting going on. You'd get tripped. For some reason, tripping people is the only thing I could think of right now.
Well,
I have better pranks.
I don't know, man. Tripping is pretty hilarious. So I support.
No harsh tripping, just playful tripping. I don't want anybody to bust their face on the floor. I just want you to maybe drop your soda. That'd be funny. all day. That's all I'd ever
do. Definitely. That's phenomenal. I vibe with that 100%, and I appreciate you.
What would be your superpower?
My superpower, I actually answered this for the first time last week. I'd be able to travel through the internet, travel through cyberspace.
Through the internet? Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, I'd be
like
the Static Shock, if you ever saw the show Static Shock. I'd be like the Static Shock of the internet, and I'd travel through bandwidth.
I like it.
Definitely.
Wait, now, would you be able to make websites, for instance, like real places?
Definitely. I think the internet for me would be a physical... Like, if you've ever seen the show, the anime, to put it more appropriately, Sword Art Online.
I don't think
so. Or HackSign.
What about
anime take place in a pretty much, like, computer game world? So you can pretty much imagine how that goes.
Yeah, well, I think there was a show like that, a Saturday morning cartoon. I don't remember the name of it, but...
Oh, Reboot. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Autry is called back, so I'm going to bring him on to this shit show. Autry, are you there?
Hey, I am back. Sorry about that.
Autry.
Awesome. Dude, this is the hardest interview I've ever had, but it's kind of fun. So.
Yeah, definitely. Autry, this is Paul. Paul, this is Autry.
Hey, hi, Paul.
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
I want to stand in one place where I do not drop the call.
These DIY podcasts are very fun to do, but they can be very stressful at certain points because drop calls and things.
I've been involved in crappier podcasts. Don't worry.
Good. Glad to hear. I'm really glad to hear that.
I've been in. You don't even want to know the last podcast I did.
I kind of do.
Do you remember the show Reboot, Autry? That's what we're in discussion about right now.
No. But I'm glad that
Reboot?
We can all talk about it. What was Reboot?
So it was these digital characters. Would you say that, Paul? They're like 3D characters.
Yeah.
They're all blue.
It was like
people.
The first sort of CGI animation.
Yeah, and they pretty much existed in the internet, and they like surfed through. They literally surfed through the internet.
Yeah,
and like I was
they had
asking
like hoverboards.
Earlier, yeah, what?
Wait, I kind of remember that, but now the internet, like my memory and the internet, I just mashes everything together. So I think of Reboot, and then I'm like thinking of like suddenly like Weird Al Yankovic's UHF comes up, and then like the robots from like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and then like a Pop-Tart commercial, and then it's just like. I'm kind of overblown with information of, like, past, like internet stimuli. But a Reboot kind of seems familiar.
I'll watch that makes sense completely, honestly. That's kind of how I feel my life is a
it makes perfect sense, sure.
We've got the TVs, we've got the phones, we've got the computers, we've got the PlayStations. I think 5 or 6 computers in my house.
7 years ago, David Yao from the Jesus Lizard and I were playing a show together, and amongst his many, many quotable quotes, I was like, hey, man, it was great to play with you. It was an honor. You've been one of some of my favorite bands. And then he was like, yeah, man, I don't know, because, you know, like, the internet is, like, this thing, and I don't even know. I don't understand it. And he was just like, who cares what I think? I'm getting a drink. And I was like, was that the most valuable piece of wisdom that anyone has given me? I think it was.
Probably. Honestly.
He said, the internet is crazy. I'm getting a drink. Who cares what I think?
The best piece of advice I ever got was actually from a 14-year-old kid whenever I was 14. And we were super drunk and in our friend's dad's like backyard. And he just turns to me and he goes, hey, man, it all happened. And that just made more sense to me than anything that anyone else has ever said since or before.
That's the most philosophically, like, pertinent, like, answer and statement ever. Like, it all happened. It did. Like, Exene Cervinka said in the 80s, like, she was like, all the ideas are over. And that was, like, before, like, America Online and chat rooms and LinkedIn, which we all use daily. Like... it's all happened before, man. It was just a different modem. It was a different Wi-Fi.
Yep. Absolutely. He went on, and he has gone on to be, like, captain of the football team at Tulane into Marine captain. So I want everybody to put that in their pipe, their collective pipe, and smoke it.
He seems so smart to be a Marine. No offense to Marines.
I know.
But it seems like he would be, like, you know, he would be, like, in, had reinvented, like, a better question mark or something.
He's, like, king of the Marines. He's, like, the kind of guy who comes
king
back from
King of the
Marine
Marines?
That,
you can't get
yeah,
any
he's like, I don't even know.
Higher up.
He, yeah, he,
then
he's
the king of Marines.
Me on a different level. He's the king of Marines. I would go as far to, like, maybe not yet, and I won't use any
major, corporal,
names.
General, king of all Marines. You're like a Aquaman there. Aquaman is the king of Marines.
Yeah, at a certain point, or Thanos, honestly. You've got the power amulet on your fucking, you're doing major
you control.
Shit.
You control dolphins, you control Charlie Tuna, all the mermaid girls, they're all yours if you're king of Marines. You go to a restaurant, and if you're the king of Marines, and they're like, we're out of the tilapia, you're like, actually, you're not. Tilapia's right there because you're king of Marines. You control the
go
sea.
Go check your tank real quick.
No more ahi tuna? I think not. I'm the king of Marines. It's coming up right now.
I'd like 12 swordfish steaks. Oh, you don't have it? I think you're mistaken. Go check your deep freeze real quick.
He was 14 years old. He must have been blowing people's minds. Was he on acid, like, every day?
No, he wasn't. That was the thing. I don't even know. I've seen this kid eat mushrooms maybe once, but I've never even seen him. You know, and that, even that, I don't. That might have been a lie. I don't even know if I recollect that memory fully. Because I was on mushrooms. So I can't even, like, necessarily prove that he was on mushrooms. You know what I mean? So...
Yes.
But he's got more wisdom in his body than...
Do you still know this guy?
I do. I keep in contact with him as much as I can.
Good.
I get as much wisdom and knowledge as I can from this person.
Yeah.
He's like a spirit guy.
Where is he now? Do you stay in touch with him?
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah, no. We should all get together, drink some beers in the woods, talk about life.
Can we should all
we
go and
mushrooms.
Go to a red. We should go to a Red Lobster and say, "Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but we're the king of all Marines, and you guys have been effing up." I can say that on your podcast. I can say effing up, right? I don't know if I can. There's some podcasts
you
can't
say the real word. You can say the real word.
You broke ass motherfuckers have been fucking up here. I'm the king of Marines.
King of Marines.
I need some more shrimp scampi and some cheddar biscuits, if you don't mind. Thank you.
I was about to say, I think
but
I
politely,
can eat 41
because it's not
cheddar biscuits.
It's not the server's fault.
Never, but it can
no,
become
it's the general manager.
Can I speak? No, I like to ask for an assistant manager, not the manager.
Assistant manager
the assistant
to the king of
really
Marines.
Doing the legwork. The manager,
have you guys ever,
I don't know,
have,
you know. He's
have
on his high horse, thinks, you know.
The game Don't Touch Me, maybe one of the greatest games ever created.
I don't remember that game.
What game is this?
So basically, you walk into a Walmart with a couple of friends. You start acting a fool, just a straight fool, just making a scene. I don't care how you're making the scene, you're making the scene. You're making the scene, so it's not necessarily that it needs police attention, but it definitely deserves manager attention. So you're making your scene. You're probably going to have some Walmart employees come up to you. They're gonna probably have to defer because you're not taking it. They're going to have to defer to an assistant manager. This assistant manager, you're going to have to push to deferring to the real manager. Once you get the real manager involved, you start acting a real fool. The second that they reach out to touch whoever they go out to touch says, "Don't touch me," and they win.
Wait. There is a caveat to that. As the brownest member of Trail of Dead and also one of the brownest guys in indie rock, I would probably immediately get arrested. So what do I do in this situation? I don't know if I can go into any Walmart and act crazy without getting tased.
You've been tased?
No, I haven't been tased, but I'm always
expecting
thinking
it?
Yeah. that I possibly might get tased. There's times when I'm playing a show and I'm like, oh, you know, this is a Trail of Dead show. We're going to go crazy. Hope I don't get tased because anyone's going to get tased on stage. It's got to be me. I know
you're
going to
be the one that gets tased.
If Conrad
knocks
over a guitar or something or, you know,
if you know Jason shits his pants, I'm gonna get tased. I know it. I'm gonna get tased. I'm ready for it. I've been doing a certain kind of yoga that really helps you whenever you're tased.
Preparedness.
Preparedness, Paul. You have to be prepared to get tased.
Yeah. This is a whole other thing.
Downward facing dog. The second you get tased, and all of a sudden, like,
I don't think that'd be a good way to get tased.
Well, you go immediately into the "don't tase me, bro" stance.
What do you know about skull and crossbones, bro?
Paul, can you take this one for me? I think you can take it from here.
Oh boy, I don't even know where we are anymore.
Who cares where we are at this point? No, but seriously,
skull and
honestly,
crossbones?
The game?
No. Is that a game?
No, it's not
skull
a game.
Skull and crossbones?
The tattoo?
I mean,
like,
unless
a pirate?
Unless you're a man,
a
white male over 50 years old involved in the government, skull and crossbones is not a game. But that's all I have to say about that tonight. You know what I mean? We can't.
I'm not white. I'm not really that white. I'm a little bit white. I'm definitely not over 50. I'm probably male. I'm not involved in politics. But I think I can answer this question.
Okay.
But I think that I'm the best person to answer this question.
Yes, thank you. I think you are too.
All I gotta say is it's all been done.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
let me quit if I were 10-year-old. So I'm liking the flow of this conversation. I don't mind easing in, but please stop me. Just tase me if I say anything wrong. I'm
ready.
Yeah,
you open form.
I'm ready to
bro.
Get tased.
We're in the Cygnus quadrant of the galaxy in the Cheeseburger Nebula. You can say whatever
we're
you want.
We're in the Texas of the Cheeseburger Nebula. Right now, I am in right outside of Austin. I'm recording the Trail Dead record. We're doing it right now at Greg Raleigh's compound. Greg Raleigh is this original singer of Santana. And we're hanging out listening to the new Santana record. It's amazing. We're grilling lobster. No offense to anyone who's allergic to shellfish. Don't tase me if you hate shellfish. And I just want to say that it's all been done before. Mm. Everything's already been done. Mm. Skull and crossbones has been done. That's why Captain Crunch does not have a skull and crossbones insignia on the cereal box.
True.
He had to go with Crunch Berries because skull and crossbones were already done.
Yo, what was that movie with Paul Walker and Craig T. Nelson? The Skull.
Rest in peace.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Wait, no. Whatever I've heard, because I think that like my kind of like non sequitur and slightly nonsensical statement, but it's true. That's exactly where I am. But like that statement was kind of Wu-Tang Clan-esque. People, Wu-Tang Clan, they say rest in power, not rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like, kind of makes sense, I guess. But the skulls, was that like, that was something that George W. Bush was involved in, right? Another Texan?
He was.
Skull
yeah.
and bones?
Skull
and bones,
Skull
right?
and bones, yeah. John Kerry was actually involved in it, too. There's a list that, there's
John
like
John Kerry?
There's,
I was hoping you were going to say Jim Kerry. Actually,
can,
I was hoping you were going to say
I
Harry Kerry. Harry Carey would be the best.
What the hell? Dude, Harry Carey would be amazing if he was involved. In
Harry Carey. No, actually, Will Ferrell as Harry Carey.
Mm-hmm. That's the only Harry Carey I really identify with.
Guys, do you want a treat? Do you want to talk to one of my bandmates in Trail of Death?
Yes.
I think it's time. I'm going to... Conrad, you have a second? I'm doing a podcast. I want to say hi to you.
All right.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
What is your feelings on Harry Carey? Or
really more appropriately, what is your feelings on Will Ferrell as Harry Carey?
Hold on 1 second. I'm getting very bad reception. I hope you can hear me because I was having a hard time hearing you. Hello, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Yes, I can definitely repeat the question. What is your feelings on Harry Carey, or Will Ferrell, more appropriately, as Harry Carey?
Harry Carey, isn't that like a Japanese form of ritualistic suicide?
I mean, I guess samurai, that's more
yes,
referred to as...
Yes, but it's spelled differently.
Yeah,
I respect the
honor behind it and the sentiment behind it, but I think that ritualistic suicide at this day and age is probably, you know, it's a thing of the past. I mean, you know, seppuku, yeah, it's something that we should probably move beyond. Am I addressing the right subject matter?
You know, you're in the right. You're in the right quadrant, definitely. I think you pretty much answered all our questions.
I'm in one of four, that means, right? A quadrant. I had 25% chance of being correct. Yeah, cool. To who am I addressing? I Autry just handed me the phone, and, you know, we're at a barbecue currently, and so I don't even know who I'm speaking with.
Well, I am William Bonney of this is my podcast live from the Cheeseburger Nebula, and I've been a big fan of your work, especially for years and years. So it's definitely it's an honor to speak to you, and it's awesome.
Cool, man.
Definitely. I hope you're enjoying your barbecue for sure.
Oh yeah. This is we're out in the middle of the West Texas Hill Country. It's kind of beautiful out, night out tonight. I'm staring at a swimming pool in a hot tub, and it's one of those magical evenings that you're kind of surrounded by deer and rabbits and go-karts. You know, it's a great place. So I think you've caught us on a very propitious evening. Autry is making lobster tails. He just made lobster tails, and his famous family recipe for macaroni, crab macaroni and cheese.
Oh man, that sounds fucking phenomenal.
It is. It's like, where are you calling? Where are you calling from?
We're actually we're in Denver, Colorado, which is actually pretty snowy day/night in Denver. So it's been
snowy.
Definitely not grilling weather. Yeah. Yeah, it's been kind of, I know. I'm a Texas native, so I'm not definitely used to this kind of weather this time of the year.
Get your skis on.
I've got a bottle of Jameson right here, and that's definitely helping me get through the night, that's for sure. So
yeah, whatever gets you through the night, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's
good.
That's all I can ask for.
You know, get your skis strapped on and grab a stick of Juicy Fruit, as the old commercial once said. The whole thing with Colorado and Texas are not that far away from each other, and you know the tectonic plate that Texas rests on is probably the same one that's squeezing against the Californian plate that created the mountain range upon which you are now being snowed on.
Yeah,
so
I think you're right.
You know,
and also, I mean,
I think
the old Republic of Texas used to stretch up to the Front Range of Colorado as well as Kansas, parts of New Mexico and Oklahoma. So, I mean, that was only 1836 to 1846, if my memory serves me correctly. But
so, in theory, if you stayed exactly where you are, and I stay where I am, in about 5 million years, we won't have to move, and we'll be in the same place.
Podcast from the future. We'll be moved,
you know, through volcanography. Oh, I'm sorry. I know that you're speaking to Autry, and here he is.
Hello.
Hey, Autry.
Hey, I'm back. I thought that was a quick little surprise, Conrad.
Yeah, no, that was definitely really cool. And thank you. I mean, I'm kind of jealous, you know, that we don't get to try your famous lobster macaroni. But you know, for future.
Well, no, I'm grilling lobster and then I'm making crab macaroni and cheese. And
it's crab
what I do.
Macaroni.
And if I'm in Denver and you eat shellfish and you promise not to tase me too much, I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
yeah.
As
well,
your 14-year-old friend said, it's already been done. It's already been done, though.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Already
I
been
mean,
done.
You guys ever come through and you want a place to grill out and have a couple beers, definitely.
Well, I feel like we need to rebuild our audience in Denver because we're, you know, it's just a market that we haven't revisited very often, so I feel like we have to go out there. Maybe I need to go out there with some mixed CDs of Trail. Like, I know that I missed the part where I was supposed to be on the show, and I had, like, 10 songs that you were going to play of some of my, you know, favorite music and a song that I thought, you know, for Trail that was good to play. But I think we need to come back to Denver more. We might need to go to Denver maybe every once or twice a week.
Yeah, dude.
Build an audience.
Well, I mean,
not just play a show. Go to a Subway. Go to an H&R Block. Go to, you know, a mall. Go to the police department. And just talk to, like, the people that are working. Talk to the hungry people. Talk to the prisoners. Talk to the kids in kindergarten. Let them know about Trail of Dead, you know?
Definitely. Trail of Dead is for the family. Trail of Dead is for the kids.
Well,
to be honest with you,
Trail Dead is a family. You know, it's like we are more like a slightly but not definitely dysfunctional family of, you know, four brothers, three Taurus, and one Cancer. And one thing, you know, obviously I joined Trail Dead maybe about four records ago. And when I first saw Trail Dead, you know, I was, you know, just a little, as a surfer's, say a Grammy. I was just a little kid, and those guys were a little bit older than me. And I saw them, and it blew my mind. I was like, "Man, this seems like this thing could like explode at any moment. This could fall apart. This is crazy." And then I realized that that's just a band. Like we are, it's a band that kind of like lends itself to unpredictability, to this amazing tension and release. And it's something that I kind of like, you know. I learned more about myself being in Trail of Dead than I ever have with any other experience, musical or social or romantic. Like, you know, when we're playing on stage, nothing is contrived. Like, everything I would like to tell you, it's, like, definitely real. It's just, like, four really close – it's, like, four family members being on stage kind of, like – playing music that we really believe in. And I think that that's really cool. And I hope, you know, if anything, that we encourage that for any, you know, musical experience or any band, you know, that might look at us and say like, oh, that's cool. You know, I know, you know, we play out of tune. We like, things get crazy. We knock over instruments. We get crazy. We get banned from places. But ultimately, like my one mission statement is that like, what we're doing is this, like, of the moment and really just four guys that really love each other playing music that we love. And I think that ultimately everyone's just gotten into music because of that, you know. Everyone's gotten into any art, whether it's, you know, culinary arts or whether it's visual art or whether it's musical or, you know, whether it's poetry or fashion. Like, people get into it because they're just, like, they love it, you know. It doesn't matter about the money you make or what you travel, like, if we were in a garage doing the same thing that we do all over the world, it would still be amazing and it would still be worth it, you know? So it's a cool thing to be in. Tonight we're in a really amazing place eating lobster and listening to, you know, amazing music and talking to someone that I, you know, once again, I'm very, very thankful that you even took the time to have me on the show. But, you know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, we all just like music. We all just like to listen to cool stuff that inspires us. And I'm lucky enough to be a part of that, like, with my friends every night, you know?
Fuck yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it's super fucking awesome to have you and Conrad on, just, I mean, like, out of the blue. But, and also, I mean, Paul, to have you, not to, like, overshadow you being on as well, thank you so much for being on tonight and for, you know, talking Wizard Bong with all of us and sharing.
And now you got to check all your stuff out now, Paul.
Yes, do that. I've got a website,
yeah,
Tail Wizard Bong. You know, Instagram. I'm around on the internet. I exist.
Hey, you're on Instagram. Can we follow each other? I am at Autry is gone on Instagram, and you are what? Sorry, I'm shamelessly plugging both of us. But Paul, what is your Instagram handle?
I am at Wizard Bong.
Okay, I'm going to get on my internet phone, my smartphone. And I'm going to follow him.
Right,
and I think everyone should do that too. And I find that I really follow cool people. I don't really follow that many people, but and I apologize in advance for anyone that tries to follow me, because my Instagram's kind of a mess. I'll do like some Trailhead stuff, and then I'll do a picture of, you know, a woman that has a weird tattoo of her baby on her stomach or something, and then I'll do like a picture of me with, you know, eating a sandwich or something, and I'm sorry about the bad stuff, but I think it's pretty funny. Instagram's a weird thing. The internet's a weird thing, like we've been saying the whole night. The internet's a weird thing, man.
Are you wearing an actual Pain shirt in your profile picture?
Oh, my goodness. How, who,
not just
how
a motherfucker.
Do you know that I wear a lot of actual Pain stuff?
Dude, I love actual Pain.
I wear a lot of actual Pain stuff. Shout out to TJ. Shout out to King Dude. Actually, shout out to Chelsea Wolf, too, because she reps actual Pain as well. Actual Pain's amazing. I really like iconography. I was raised in a very religious household, and when I left, I am just really drawn to iconic imagery. Right now, I'm actually wearing an amazing baby shirt, and it kind of looks like an actual Pain shirt because it's got, like, the, you know, quintessential upside-down crosses and a moon and everything. But I wear actual Pain stuff pretty much every day because I have so much of it. I want to thank TJ for being awesome and doing amazing designs and also being an amazing musician with his band King Dude. And I sorry I'm shamelessly plugging right now, you know.
No.
Albertsons, it's your store. I'd also like to thank Best Buy. I'd like to thank Tower Records. Just kidding. I'd like to thank Jay-Z for putting the greatest hip-hop album out of all time. Jeb Bush representing Florida. No, just kidding. I'm joking. But Actual Pain's great. Actual Pain, you know, what's cool to me, you know, I'm not really one necessarily to rep things, but I like things that are artistically relevant. And that are people that just don't do one thing. Well, Conrad that you just spoke to, and God knows what he said to you, but he's an amazing visual artist. He's an amazing, you know, conceptual artist. You know, the records mean a certain thing, you know, that we're making music, but there's also stories and themes along with all of our records, and his artwork is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of, you know, visual art. I do music videos for Trail Now, there's other things I do. Jason also is an amazing musician and artist. Like, for me, art is art. And, you know, the passion that you put into your art, whether it's you're cooking a meal or you're making, you know, you're dancing or you're making music, that's all about art, you know. Conversation is an art. There's romance is an art. Like, people don't realize how much of their life involves art. And I would like to encourage people to support art, whether it's supporting legislation for keeping art in schools, you know, keeping, you know, funding for, you know, art in schools, keeping any programs that are available publicly in your communities. Not trying to get too, you know, political or social, but, you know, I think anyone who's listening to this and anyone who's involved in this knows that, like, art is important, and it's not just visual art. It's not just, you know, music. It's so many things that permeate our life every day, you know. And I think people should recognize art as the universal force that brings us together and that really moves us, whether it's on a social, romantic, personal, political level. Art really drives the whole world.
Amen. I mean, I don't think I could put it any better. And I think Paul...
With that,
probably...
I do believe that I may have to leave you guys for the night because I have to continue to make art.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, continue.
And
to
I would really like to thank you,
speak.
Thank you, Paul, for enduring me, like popping in and being a weirdo. Dude, thank you, William. I know you as William. I don't know if you have a nickname.
Yeah, William.
What is the name that you would prefer to be called?
You know, I think William's good. William is a good way to go. For now.
Is William your slave name? Should I just call you Music X?
Is this a Spike Lee production? No, just
yeah,
I'm just joking.
Sounds...
But you know, I really appreciate being on here. I really appreciate you like letting me say my piece. But you know, I really believe in music. I think right now we're making a Trill of Dead record. This is you know, I'm several records into the band. I'm very humbled and thankful to be a part of it. I'm humble and thankful to be a part of any music right now that is able to be heard. And ultimately, I'd like to encourage anyone, whether it's heard or not, if you love music, you know, like I think the three of us do, if you love art, it's like it's worth it. You know, it's worth us taking time out of anything else that we're doing in order to yield to art, in order to yield to whether it means listening to music, listening to, you know, our own or a record, making a record, going to a museum, you know, checking out a band, buying their music if possible. If not buying it, just enjoying it and really supporting the band in any way. And that doesn't necessarily mean buying their music. And I'll be the first one as someone that makes a living as a musician. You don't really necessarily have to buy a record to be a patron of the arts. You know, you can go to a show. You can just tell a musician to keep going. You know, there and art, you know, does not stop with visual art or music. There's, you know, culinary artists, there's chefs, there's poets, there's dancers that are there. And I feel like all of us have just got to continue to support each other. And who cares about the quote-unquote media? Who cares about, you know, the actual business of it? You know, artists should just support artists because this is all we have. And we are our most important critics and our most important friends.
Absolutely. And Autry, man, like, thank you so much for being on tonight. Like, it honestly, it means
I would like
a
to be on again
for...
if you would humor me and have me. I'm sorry that tonight
Absolutely.
Was a little bit weird because I'm in the middle of nowhere and it's bad reception.
Dude, no, definitely. June, I have some open spots. July, we'll talk more in depth. All right,
cool, man. Well, thanks again. And, Paul, it was nice to meet you via podcast. And you guys have a great
definitely.
Night. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man, you too.
Bye, Autry.
That was Autry Fulbright of Anyone Knows by the Trail of Dead, as well as Conrad Keeley.
Paul,
yeah. You beautiful son of a bitch, thank you for coming on tonight and being... And also, I mean, like, I do have one more question, kind of tying into what Autry was saying. What do you think is the mission statement of Wizard Bong? Is it like, what is... it to you, you know?
Honestly, you know, it's just about being creative, about making something, about, you know, what it is, whatever that is to you, because it's something totally different to me, but it's about accepting that and just doing it. Being yourself and doing it.
Oh yeah.
Full force. I don't know. You know.
Well, dude. I mean,
I don't have as much to say. You know, I'm not much of a talker. I believe that's why I sit in front of the drawing board, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, we here in the Cheeseburger Nebula and across the board. Appreciate you sitting at that drawing board and creating as much as you do, because Wizard Bong is definitely
taking some baby steps towards really becoming something really of note, especially in this Denver community, and especially hopefully the national community.
If any of you people that listen to this want to check it out, it is HailWizardBong.com or Instagram at WizardBong. Yeah, so that'd be awesome. I want people to see it. I like what I do. And I really appreciate being on this podcast. Thank you very much.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you and just, you know, chilling throughout everything. And, like, you know, I kind of, you know, in our own minds, we can really plan out some things and they kind of go a different way. And I'm glad that it kind of happened as it did, because this is a really fucking cool show to have. To have both of you guys on at the same time, I think it's something that I've never done before. And I think, I really want to thank you for being patient, you know what I mean? Because,
Yeah, of course.
And, I mean,
it was again, such an honor to be on the show.
Yeah, dude, I mean.
Especially and you will know us. Those guys are great. It was an honor to be on the show with them.
It is an actual honor to have them on the show, and honestly, I'm very humbled by tonight and this whole process. This is probably the longest show I've ever done, as well as probably like the most rewarding. So, I mean,
awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on. Again, shout out to Audrey and Conrad for coming on, and all of Annual Notes by the Chill Dead. So, but yeah,
I'm gonna go eat.
Yeah, man, go eat. I'm gonna eat too. I got this bowl of food sitting in front of me. Need to eat.
Goodbye, radio people. I hope you enjoyed our conversations.
You're the best, Paul.
You're the best.
Hey, let's get together this week and smoke some marijuana.
We're gonna hang out. Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Sounds great, my brother.
Thank you again, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, of course. All right, bye. Take it easy. And that, of course, was Paul Wesley Langway III. Autry Fulbright II of Annual Notes by the Trail of Dead, Paul of Wizard Bong. This has been live from the Cheeseburger Nebula. Probably going to go and have a couple beers and reflect on how awesome this was. Thank you for anybody who listened. Thank you for everybody who called in. Thank you for being alive. We won't be on next week, but the week after we'll be back. All right, bye.